your martial arts movie podcast.
Ha-ha! I threw that shit before I walked in the room! Yeah!
Featuring drunken Thai boxer, Will.
Too bad you will die.
The also drunken wrestler, Mark.
I said I don't want trouble!
And drunken karate master, Zero.
You've lost your balls.
And now...
I know kung fu.
You know, baby.
Fists of Fail.
New month, new theme. Right, Zero? Right? What's the theme for this month? I mean, it's no surprise. We kind of did the same theme last year anyways, right?
Right. Well, last year the theme was technically so bad it's good movies. Mm-hmm. I think we're kind of playing loose with April with comedies, martial arts comedies, intentional or not. That was my proposal to you.
Yeah.
But the film we're talking about doesn't technically fall under that, though.
Well.
Because.
Well, I mean, normally we do. Just to lay it out there. Today we're doing a patron episode. Shout out to Robert Gorham for recommending another movie for us. Today he really wanted us to talk about Die Fighting.
Don't you mean The Price of Success?
The Price of Success. How much? Right, we're going meta here. We're going meta here because that's the movie within the movie, right?
Well, I have a feeling that was the original title because they say that all throughout the film,
yeah.
And even on the behind the scenes, they call it The Price of Success.
Yep.
And then the filmmaker acknowledges, oh, now retitled Die Fighting.
Yeah.
Die Fighting is definitely the flashier action title, where The Price of Success,
that doesn't sound easily, like a martial arts movie.
Exactly. That could get lost in the, you know, the ether of so many martial arts movies. I mean, Die Fighting could easily get lost too, but I digress.
Yes. So again, shout out to Robert for recommending this movie. It was something that he said, yeah, the story is shit, but the fighting is good. Now, normally I am the poo-pooer of movies and I can be very critical. But I must be like hell must have frozen over. Cause I just genuinely enjoyed this movie. Like almost through and through.
So did I. I'll say the movie's pretty easy to sit through. It's pretty enjoyable. Yeah. It sets itself up very well. You understand what's going on for the most part. And you're just along for the ride. Mm-hmm. But then something happens in the end, and we won't spoil it here. But, you know, once we get to the Patreon part of the discussion where we go into spoilers, we can lay that all out. Because, yeah, the ending almost sours the whole experience for me. Almost.
Okay, I can see that. I don't necessarily think the ending was that bad. Were you expecting it, Zero?
I was not, so it was a surprise.
Was that
not a pleasant surprise? Oh, okay. I was booing when we get to the end. How about we elaborate on what the plot is first?
Okay. the plot is very meta. Right? Yeah. So it is about a bunch of martial arts aspiring actors who want to break into the scene, break into the industry. They know how hard it is to get into it, and they've always wanted to make a movie. And each one of them, the seeds have been sowed that, you know, like, oh, like maybe we should, you know, try to do other things, like, you know, because there's no future in martial arts performances anymore, so like, why don't we, you know, do other things? And then suddenly there's a hard turn in the story where,
I mean, immediately in the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. And within that, you know, first like 5 to 6 minutes of the movie, their girlfriends are kidnapped, or a girlfriend is kidnapped, held hostage, and the main characters, all four of them, are told to do a series of crimes and fight scenes wherein they are being recorded. And yes, this is all going to be put into a feature film because they've always wanted to be in a movie. So it's kind of like,
That's fair. It's very meta.
Yeah, it's
very self-aware. It literally is what it is.
Yeah.
They are being forced to film a movie against their will, and we are literally watching that movie unfold in real time. It's not, I would say, is this found footage? Found footage is usually when you find somebody's video recording. This one is too elaborate of a setup, I think, to be called found footage, but it wants to be in that realm, right?
Yeah. Well, okay.
I believe the filmmaker said that's what he was kind of going for.
Sure, sure. You definitely have to suspend your disbelief with some of these things. I mean, the premise is very simple. It's very by the, you know, you have to suspend your disbelief. Like, why would someone want to watch a movie where just cameras are arbitrarily placed around the room? You know, like there's no artistry to that. You know, like things like that, you kind of just have to, you know, like put aside. It's more about like the actual like setups for the next fight, wherein it's almost like meta commentary on martial arts films itself, because like they themselves, like even the characters themselves, acknowledge like, oh, now it's time for me to fight 10 black belts. Of course, because that's the part of the movie where we're going to do that.
Yeah. The movie is very self-aware, which is fun. I like when it's aware of forcing the characters into the typical action scene or doing things that are required of a movie but don't actually make sense in the real world.
Yeah. So regarding the story, that's as simple as it is. Like every one of them are being told to go out, fight, and then go to the next fight, because otherwise this woman will get butchered to death. I don't know. Pretty much, yes. Story is very simple. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I actually enjoyed the fighting quite a bit in this movie. The editing, though...
Okay, yeah, so that's...
Let's talk about the editing.
Yeah, that's the big thing we need to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Editing and cinematography in this movie, they are a stylistic choice based on the premise of this movie. So you have these top-down security-like camera angles. Like, where would cameras realistically be? You know, for security footage. So a lot of times you just have cameras like looking down or in kind of strange voyeuristic places. Mm-hmm. Sure, that I think cinematically that makes sense. So I'm going to be okay with that. It's the editing that was getting really distracting for me in the beginning.
No. Right. So, okay, looking at this movie and even looking through the credits, you know, just watching the film, you can see there's a level of budget that they had for the production of this movie, right? So it's not low quality like contracts or what was that movie? Whatever. It's not like the bottom of the barrel. Like it just feels like there's no budget at all. It actually does feel like they have some production value here.
Right. You can tell. Okay, so this I would say this is a limited budget.
Yes.
But you can see there is a lot of planning going on.
There has to be.
There's no way they could have just run and gunned this very quickly because of all the different sorts of camera angles they needed to put. That you can't just do that in an afternoon. Like that took a lot of time to set all those up, and then the action directors and martial arts choreographers figuring out, okay, what's the best angle for the shot? You know, where can we put the camera angle that's also within line of the premise?
Right. So, with all that said, yes, you're absolutely correct. With all that said, you would think that they would have the budget to do a second pass of the movie to get rid of all the black frames, phantom frames.
No. That was a stylistic decision.
You think so? I don't know.
I am very positive that was a... So, to elaborate, they are being watched through security footage by some man in a van, and he has multiple, you know, monitors set up like a computer. Mm-hmm. And my theory is that whenever we edit from one cut to another, you see either a black frame or you see like television static go in between to slightly transition. Right. Maybe like one or two frames. And I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to say, oh, this is somebody who's cutting between surveillance footage. He's going from one camera to another, to another, to another. And we're seeing that tiny little blip of one frame to three frames of where you see that static. And I'm very positive that's what they're doing. I'm pretty positive it's not somebody leaving in phantom frames.
You know, it's funny. I had that theory when I was... I almost had the theory when I was watching it the second time around, but then I kind of noticed it in moments where it's like, they're not filming in this scene. I feel like there's phantom frames in these as well. So is this
it's everywhere. I believe it's a creative decision to make the movie seem like somebody is watching the entire thing through surveillance cameras.
Okay. Well, there's moments where it feels like, okay, this is for the movie, within the movie, and then this is just for the movie. Oh, God. This is for the movie that we're watching. Right. And we have phantom frames in those instances, too. So it kind of like, I don't know if it was just like a stylistic thing or not. For those of you who don't know what phantom frames are, it's like when you're editing videos, you know, like you sometimes just don't piece things together. So you just see black in the back. So that's what we're referring to. But yeah, I thought that they were all unintentional, and that would be my nitpick, because it's a recurring thing that happens throughout the movie. But if you're right and it's an intentional choice, then it's the wrong choice, because it's incredibly distracting.
Oh yeah. So the first couple fights in the first maybe like 20-30 minutes of the movie, for someone like me, I'm very sensitive to stuff like that. When we edit, you know, I see it, but then also that kind of stuff is, I'm not trying to be harsh, but it literally is headache inducing, because you're getting flashes, you know, flashes like that, you know, can trigger migraines, can trigger headaches. So like when I see stuff like that, it's a little nauseating. But yeah. I will say that by the end of the movie, you kind of forget it's there, because it's been going on throughout that, you know, you get adjusted to it.
Sure.
So if you're going in and you were like me and you're like, oh, I can't stand this, eventually you'll deal with it and you'll stick through it.
I think you and I are just jaded, because we've done so much editing in our lifetimes. That's like anytime we see phantom frames, like, I need to edit this. I need to go edit this video and fix those problems myself.
I can't imagine that they paid someone to edit this and that person left in all these blank phantom frames. So I want to safely say it's probably a creative decision for them.
Yep. Looking at this film as a whole, minus that big overall problem that happens throughout the movie, that's basically a nitpick. That's probably my biggest nitpick. Not much else that like really like took me out of the movie outside of, you know, what you referred to before, the ending. But I think that there's a lot of talent here, and I guess that's what we should talk about now. It's Fabian Garcia and Laurent Busson. I can't pronounce French names at all. So these guys went to China, trained at Shaolin Monastery for 10-ish years. And it kind of shows like how much martial arts talent that they have on screen. Because like they're incredibly talented folks. I think even Laurent, I can't pronounce French. His brother is also in the movie, right?
Yeah. It's Laurent Busson and then Didier Busson. Didier. I don't know. Sorry, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right either. But yeah, I believe those two are brothers. Fabian Garcia, director, star, action choreographer, multiple hats. And then the fourth character, Jess Allen, he is not a trained martial artist at all. That's fine. They give him more of the action gun shootout stuff to play with, while the other three guys are mainly responsible for all the fight choreography and whatnot.
Yeah. And in regards to that, you see that in the credits. Primarily Fabian was the director and choreographer, co-fighting, co coordinator was Laurent. And then I guess in certain scenes, like Didier was also like choreographer. Right. As well.
I mean, you can see they are all very, very trained martial artists. So I considering this is a smaller movie, I'm sure all of them had some sort of hands with lots of their own little stuff to work with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very talented folks. I think that watching this film, I wasn't expecting this caliber of like just on-screen physical talent. I genuinely thought that they were all really good. They're from this point forward for the rest of the episode, I think like any negatives I have could chalk it up to nitpicking. Because I genuinely did just enjoy the movie all in all. And I don't actually understand the negative reaction to some of the movie. I read some of the reviews and like I know the story's simple, but that doesn't make it a bad film. I actually thought the fact that it's so simple actually makes move along pretty swimmingly. Like it's actually a really easy watch.
Oh yeah, that's why I like this a lot too. In addition to the very good martial arts talent on screen, almost every scene change has a fight. So. Yeah. Once you kind of feel that coming, you're like, oh, we're in a new scene. Oh, great. We're going to get a new action set piece. Yep. You know, whether or not you like it, at least we're constantly getting the ball rolling with putting action in there and moving the story forward. I guess the biggest, not the biggest, like one of the things that gets dropped, though, unfortunately, is the characters, because I didn't even know anybody's name. I had to, you know, you had to look it up. I didn't know that character's name was Didier or Laurent or Fabian. Well, I mean, we knew Fabian because, he's the main character and they say his name a lot, but with everybody else, didn't know their name. And then they just don't really have a character. We know Fabian's wife is kidnapped, so we need to save her because we're all friends. We're in this together.
Yep.
And that's mainly the extent of it.
But that's fine. This is a good example of those kind of like action movie where you really don't. It doesn't matter what the characters are. It really is just like getting you to the next action scene.
And right. Well, what I'm saying is that was the weakest one of the weaker part of the movies. Like you don't know who these people are. It's just like they need to save wife because we're all in this together.
Right. I think Fabian. I mean, he loves martial arts movies. I think he watched Saw like once or twice and like, oh, maybe I can make a movie like that. With the story aside and you know the general action talked about, I guess we could talk about the Patreon segment of this. If you would like to be a patron too, you can get a shout out like in the segment as well. You can be a patron like Dominic Hart, who just is a new patron. Thank you for your support. And you can also, if you support us at a certain tier, you can also recommend a movie that we can watch so that we don't have to always adhere to the theme of the month and struggle like we always do when finding a new movie. This movie, The Die of Fighting, we both, Zero and I, thought we were going to find this movie to be like so bad it's good, fit in the realm of this theme. This month's theme didn't actually end up happening. Really like this movie. So I guess this will be the part where we talk about it in detail. Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We're at the point where we give our recommendations, but there's a whole wealth of audio you would be listening to here if you follow us on Patreon. There you can listen to the entire episode, including an exclusive action breakdown of the fights in the movie. But you can still support us by liking us on all the things and watch this and other episodes on YouTube with visual cues to accompany our discussion. And now on to our final thoughts. That is the price of... Wait, what is it?
Success.
Success, yeah.
The price of success. Oops, yeah. I mean die fighting.
Yep. And after that last bit of spoilers in the Patreon section, you'll know why it's called The Price of Success. Very, very on the nose. This movie's super on the nose.
I mean, it's meta. It knows. It was written intentionally that way. I believe the director, Fabian Garcia, said this script came from his laptop being stolen and he needed something to do because he didn't have his laptop anymore. So he said, okay, well, let me start writing a script.
On paper?
on paper.
Oh,
I guess,
my God.
Right? Who and does that he anymore? Thought, oh, what if my laptop was stolen because someone was actually watching me right now and they, you know, were just getting the events rolling in order to get me into a fight scene. You know, he's a martial artist. So this is what he's thinking. And I was like, okay, that's coming up with ideas because of, you know, something shitty that happened to you. Sure. Cool. You know, go with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the final product shows, man, who would have thought that I would actually like this movie?
I was expecting for you to be on the same page with me when it came to the ending. I was surprised that you're more, right. Yes, right. I was surprised you're more positive on it than I am.
Okay. There are problems with the ending for sure. We're no longer in the spoiler section, but there's problems with it. But overall, like I enjoyed the movie. I think you and I are in the same boat. Like a bad ending can actually sour the entire experience, and this didn't actually do that for me. I thought the ending still had problems, but that's more of like problems with the script rather than like the movie as a whole. So in regards to the action, I recommend most of the fights in the movie. Maybe not the first one. Not the first half of the first one, but for the most of the movie, the action, the fight scenes are pretty good. We kind of like glazed over a lot of like the plotting or the pacing in the movie. Some of the scenes in between can drag a little tiny bit. I think overall as a movie, it moves on at a pretty brisk pace. You can watch it relatively easily, and the fights are evenly spaced out throughout the movie. So like you're always gonna get something within, like in a couple minutes. So it's a very easy watch in my opinion. I actually really like this movie. Hell is definitely frozen. I definitely see flying pigs outside right now. Just telling that right now at nighttime for some reason.
Yeah. Shout out to our Patreon Robert Gorham for recommending this. Because Will actually likes a movie. Very, very surprising.
I don't even think he had good things to say about the movie, minus the fighting. So I just weirdly have mostly just positive things to say about it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. I like this movie. I thought it was great. Once I was like really looking at it and I could let go of the things I didn't like, and I spoke about all that stuff before, so I don't want to like repeat it too much, but once I could let go of the editing and camera choices and whatnot, I just sat with it and I was enjoying it. I thought the pacing was great. Fabian and then his team and everybody, I thought they did a really, really good really, really good job with the martial arts. There was a little repetition with some moves, but that's okay because they shot it at different angles, so it's not too repetitive. They were just really, really great performers. I see they have been doing shorts still. They have one recently as of 2021, so I definitely want to check that out. And I recommend the movie because we watched it on Tubi. It's free on Tubi. Highly recommend it to just go and watch it there.
Yeah. I definitely think we should support their other products or like anything other features that they're gonna be working on. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do. Outside of the backdrop of stunt work, definitely want to see them like in more like bigger pictures. Maybe as a shout out to them, I'm just gonna like when we release more YouTube videos, I'm just gonna put more black frames in between everything.
no. Oh god, those stupid black frames.
They're intentional. It's a creative decision.
Creative
it's
decision. Okay. Yeah. Sure. We're paying homage to them.
Yes.